Prep Sports now, Case Kiefer alongside Ray Brewer coming to you a little earlier than normal this Monday morning. So hopefully you can be listening to us by the afternoon at the earliest. A lot to talk about today. Thing I'm most looking forward to me, if there's one division in town that I want to watch above all else, it's the most intriguing. It is the Northeast, and we're going to start to unsettle it all this weekend when Green Valley and Vegas play each other, which I think is the game of the week. We'll get to all that. We're going to look back at last week, the number one team in the country coming to town and getting a scare. But first, we want to do some housekeeping, tell you to download the show on iTunes if you're so inclined to do so. If you don't want to go to the site, it's a lot easier just to get it on iTunes. Send us your pictures with the hashtag SunStandout on game night. And, of course, this podcast is brought to you by the Zero Teen Fatalities Program. Zero may not be a good number for your football team, but it's the only acceptable number when it comes to teen fatalities on Nevada's roads. Be a zero. Always buckle up. Watch out for pedestrians, and don't drive distracted.
Love it.
There we go.
Wow.
Got it in. So Bishop Gorman and Booker T. Washington on Friday night. This is going to be a little bit of a different thing because we both actually got to watch the game. You were there. I was on the mend at home, so I wasn't out at a game, which was kind of weird Friday, but got to watch the ESPNU telecast, which my favorite thing aside from the game is when they showed maybe Gorman's biggest celebrity fan, Lorenzo Fertitta, sitting with Dana White in the stands, and one of the commentators goes, "Hey, look, it's the Fertitta brothers." And I was like, "Oh, no."
Well, Dana's kind of like family now, right?
Yeah, I guess it's fair enough.
But I heard also that Floyd was there, Mayweather, in the Money Team. I couldn't find him.
But they didn't show him on TV.
Multiple people told me the Money Team was there, including Floyd. I could not find him. I told Sam, our photographer, to look for him. He couldn't find him either. UNLV football coach Bobby Houck was there as well, doing some recruiting. And so UNLV obviously had a bye. Bobby and his staff was out at multiple games looking at multiple local people. And go play for UNLV because I'm a Rebel.
Yeah, I mean, that was the place to be. I mean, you could just tell watching this game that there was a whole lot of talent on the field. I mean, we know around here what Gorman has, but Booker T. Washington, let me tell you, some people might be a little, I don't want to say underwhelmed, but might be like, this is the number one team in the country, and they only beat Gorman by 13. But if you were watching the game, you could tell, like, this team was just otherworldly as far as, like, having guys that could play the game and having, I mean, they had a lot of talent.
They had a lot of talent. Everybody leading up to the game talked about the speed of Booker T, a track team in pads, and that speed really never hurt Gorman. Maybe one time they had a player break free, but I thought Gorman did a great job of slowing the game down, running the football, containing the speed, doing some things on defense. It seemed like they blitzed a whole lot, really caused some confusion. With that said, the quarterback for Booker T did a great job of getting out of some tackles and creating. And, I mean, hats off to Gorman. It was 14-12 there late in the third quarter. And Booker T closed strong. Gorman had a hard time moving the ball through the air, even though they were able to rush Russell Booz 100-plus yards. Nothing to hang your head on if you're Gorman, but as Coach Tony Sanchez told us after the game, they're not playing for moral victories.
Yeah, and that's understandable, but God, I think
you have to – I mean, you could say, listen, I'm not playing for a moral victory, but I think deep inside you have to be like, okay, we just took the number one team in the country to the brink. We didn't embarrass ourselves. I would think deep inside you're chalking it up in the moral victory column.
Deep inside maybe, but they had a chance to win that game. I mean, you brought up a lot of what stood out to me about this game. I think Booker T, no doubt, had a lot more talent. There's a talent discrepancy. I think Booker T, if this is just straight on better players, I think that they win by a lot bigger margin. But Gorman, coaching-wise, I thought that Tony Sanchez and his staff just did some great things. Now, watching this, my analysis, I have a disclaimer this week. I was at home, I said, on the mend. I was on heavy painkillers. So if anything I said is not true, that's my fault. But the thing that stuck out to me early in the game was Gorman was trying to kind of get it done with, you know, just bringing four, dropping everyone back into coverage, and kind of slowing the pass game down like that. And the secondary, I thought, was doing a really good job. You will know the guys better than me, but, you know, that crew includes Nico Fertitta.
Dylan Weldon had an interception.
Those guys were doing great with the coverage. The quarterback didn't have a lot of places to go, but he also, I mean, he had no pressure at all. He had all the time back there and was able to get away, get free. I think they got to the red zone like twice in the first three drives, but had turnovers and mistakes. And really, at that point, I thought I was covering our bet that we made on the podcast was 19.5. I was like, man, they're just making mistakes. They're going to cover 19.5 easily. Not so fast. I think Gorman just made some great adjustments, started bringing some blitzes from different areas, really started changing the game to me when they made they started getting in the quarterback's head a little bit that he couldn't get away from them. I know the guy we want to talk about that I think by far was probably the MVP of the game, not even just of the team, Chris Lalee. I mean, the guy was just unbelievable. He looked like Luke Kuechly out there for every play. I mean, he made he probably had, what, four sacks and with hurries. I mean, he probably had, like, eight hurries. He was the guy that really featured in the blitzing. And, man, that kid, I can't believe I hadn't heard his name before because that was one of the best performances I've seen in a long time.
And it just goes to show how many good players Gorman has when, you know, its best player Friday was a kid that we'd never mentioned before. First time we mentioned him. Had the game of all games, best game of his life, likely. He's also the kid that carries the flag out when they run out for whatever that's worth.
A senior, so it's a good senior. To see him have such a...
Yeah, Chris
Lalee. I mean,
Lalee.
I'm sure he's devastated they didn't win.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know I would be too, but to have such a huge game and a moment like that. And
this kid has no scholarship offers right now. Do you think...
Yeah, I was Googling him during the games. I'm like, where's this kid going?
Yeah. He might be
You know I am a long-time detractor, or not detractor, just a... pessimist about Bobby Houck's chances at UNLV. If Bobby Houck was sitting at this game and saw Chris Lalee and doesn't try to get him, I've lost all faith. There's no way they're ever getting to a bowl game under. How do you not go talk to that kid?
I mean, the kid was great. He courageous, gutsy, great performance, got through the line. I worry, is he only 5'11", though?
He did look small.
He did look small.
TV. I would say that.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with being a great high school football player and going to a lower level school for free. Even though I think this kid could go to UNLV and be all world for whatever that's worth.
Yeah, I think he could definitely go to UNLV. And the thing I was talking about adjustments and how well I think Gorman did kind of adjusting to the game on defense. I think they did the same thing on offense. Early they came out and were trying to mix it up, trying to pass with Randall Cunningham III, became painfully obvious that they were not going to be able to throw the ball at all. So what do? They just started running up the middle and playing power football and doing it very well, actually. I mean, that's what got them back in the game. So, I mean, all around, I was impressed by kind of the way Gorman changed with their approach.
Down 14-0, they score before half, and then they kind of dominated the third quarter. I wrote my story. Booker T had to punt three straight possessions. Gorman had him frustrated. Russell Booz ran the ball brilliantly. A junior that you'd never heard of until this year gets his chance, I guess, when Starks leaves. And now you can make an argument that the kid's their starting tailback. He definitely ran like it Friday. Gorman closes the gap 14-12, Cunningham to Alize Jones. And from there, it's a coin flip, and the coin didn't flip in Gorman's direction. You can't beat any team turn the ball over like they did. Fumble, some interceptions. You can't win. Bottom line.
Yeah, that sounds about right. But, yeah, I mean, I thought they played well. I want to bring up the I know it doesn't really have much in the way of analysis, but the last play of the game, I thought I was going to get the backdoor cover.
Yes.
Speaking of turnovers.
Yes, yes. The weird part is that we had two games last week, Coronado-Liberty, and it was Liberty 28, Coronado 27 going into the fourth.
I think early in the fourth.
Fourth. And I had Coronado plus 16.5. Looking good, right?
Looking very good.
Okay. And then it was Gorman 14-12 down by two late in the third, right?
Mm-hmm.
Looking good there.
Yeah.
So Liberty goes and runs the table, finally catches win. Liberty is a fourth quarter team that they never play good in the first half. And then Gorman, I'm comfortable. Then Cunningham throws the pick, and the kid's running it back. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm not going to cover. and then the kid ran out of bounds, thankfully. And I got the cover. So we tied.
Yeah, we did tie.
It's like kissing your sister, but I'll take it.
Coronado every week is throwing me off. I mean, I was really surprised when I saw it was 28-27, and they were right in the game.
How did they lose so bad to Arborview? Because they beat Green Valley, they hung with Liberty, and then Arborview just destroyed them.
Well, I've got some inside information that says they
held back.
I don't know the right way to say this. No, not held back, but
they only ran two plays.
They went into the game knowing it was going to be very, very tough, and I mean it was going to be an uphill battle. And they decided that for their season going forward, when they're getting into conference play, they wanted to see. What kids were capable of contributing. So against Arbor, which was their big test, last big test of the non-division schedule, like any kid that was kind of in a position battle or close, they were like subbing kids in and out like crazy. They were played more kids, I guess, than they will all year to kind of see who could step up and do it. And they might have gotten their answers because someone gave up 45 points or whatever it was.
Okay.
So, I don't know how
it's just
how
like
accurate
a,
that is, but that's what I hear.
It's a bizarro world. You know, Legacy beats Arbor 7-0, right? Arbor beats Coronado. Coronado beats Green Valley. Green Valley beats Palo. Palo kills Legacy. Help me figure it out. You know, Green Valley loses to Coronado. Now they're going to play Vegas, which hung tough against Arbor. You know, where does it factor? You know, how does it factor in? Virgin Valley is undefeated. I'm going to pick Pahrump for two straight weeks. Faith Lutheran's in first place. What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, there is some crazy stuff at the bottom. And even, I think in that middle part behind Gorman, I mean, we've talked about it. This is a recurring theme of this year. But, I mean, all those teams I just think can beat each other. That's just the way it's
And Del Sol might be the worst team in town.
Yeah, Del Sol might be. The thing about Coronado is right now you would look at the way they've played at their best, beating Green Valley and taking Liberty to the brink, and you want to say this team is going to pull off an upset at some point this season. But their schedule gets a lot easier now. I don't know if they're necessarily an underdog going forward. I think they have Foothill and Basic, so those will be close games.
Here's the deal. I think the Southeast, the playoffs are pretty set. You just need to find out. Del Sol and El Dorado aren't going to make it. The playoff teams are Basic, Foothill, Liberty, and Coronado. They're playing for seeding. And if I'm a team in the Northeast, I don't want to have to play Coronado, bottom line. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair. Okay. I just meant, I mean, with the way Coronado's played, they look up like a perfect team. It's going to get better as the year goes on. They're young. Mm-hmm. So you want to say, man, this is a team that's going to pull off an upset and beat someone they're not supposed to, again, after they already did against Green Valley. But can you really say there's any games left they're not supposed to win? I mean, Foothill and Basic both are pretty going to be tight games, but it's not like they're a big underdog.
Yeah, I mean, it's a coin flip game. What about the Fighting Hunkies? Canyon Springs down by how many? 18?
I think 16.
16, and they come back and win? And listen, I know that Canyon Springs isn't as, and I don't want to go back to our argument last week, but I know it's not the Canyon Springs from years past. But I tell you what the Canyon Springs of this year has. These kids are fighters, man, and they're winners. And to be undefeated right now with the injuries they've suffered, and Luna and Henderson.
Zaviante Stevenson now hurt too.
Yeah.
Left the game in the second half.
Yeah, and they're finding ways to win. Shout out to those guys. I like the Alexander kid at quarterback. I know whatever quarterback Canyon has is going to be a good thrower, but I will tell you that he's organizing the offense. And you give these kids a little hope, and they're going to take it from you. Confident group. I love Canyon. I'm sorry. That Northeast is going to be fun. You hit Vegas, Green Valley, Canyon, and Silverado, I think, going to produce some good games the rest of the way.
Yeah, and supposedly Alexander had maybe his best game against Silverado. Really came on, I guess. So, yeah, going to be interesting. I still can't wait to see Canyon mix it up with those two teams. But first, we got to get these two teams out of the way. They're mixing it up this weekend. Green Valley, Las Vegas, great game. I mean, I still think any of these three teams between those two and Canyon can win the division. And it's going to start to get unsorted now.
It really is. Green Valley, obviously, they looked great against Valley last week, and they still have the momentum from the Palo game. And I think what we said about Green Valley earlier in the year, they could score on anybody, is still true. They've got, obviously, a great quarterback in Lopez. He's throwing the ball around well to his receivers, all of which are capable. They got the kicker who can make field goals, kicks the ball in the end zone, so you're starting at the 20 every time. The running game is coming around. Lake had three touchdowns in the first half against Valley. Okay, it's Valley. And you got to always go back to the defense with Green Valley. What is the defense going to do? And we know Vegas is going to be able to put some points up. We know with Xavier Banks at wide receiver, Moreland at running back, that they're going to be if it's a track meet, I got to take Moreland and Xavier Banks, who's quicker than whatever Green Valley has. I know Green Valley is going to score, but I think Vegas might be able to score more. I don't want to give my hand off of my pick, but if Green Valley's defense from last year was there, I'd like them to be, you know, to go all the way.
Oh, yeah, this is an easy pick if Green Valley has their defense from last year. But could we be looking at 2 years in a row of the Gatorade Player of the Year coming from this division and as a running back? Because what Andrew Moreland did last week was just ridiculous. He had more than 200 yards against Arborview. I don't think he's given up that many yards in a long, long time to anyone.
And he's legit. And when the other coaches are saying, hey, this dude is really kicking our tails, that means a lot to me.
I got confused and actually called him a junior to our review, Coach Dan Barnson, this week, and his response was hilarious. He could not believe that the kid might have 1 year left. He's like, just way too good. But he's not. He's a senior. So this is his last year. But he's certainly making it worthwhile. For comparison's sake, both these teams played basic and – Green Valley won by 22. Vegas won by 28.
In both games, Green Valley's game against Basic, they got a big lead kind of there in the early in the second half, right? And then Basic came back. You were at the game. I can't remember.
I mean, it was close for a while. It wasn't like they stormed out to a big lead right away.
Because Vegas pulled away kind of late against Basic.
Vegas pulled away late. If I remember right, Green Valley made a run. Basic was ahead in the second quarter, I think. Or Basic was ahead at the end of the first quarter, maybe midway through the second quarter. And then Green Valley made two huge plays and maybe were up two touchdowns at halftime. And then Basic, I think, took the lead again. And then Green Valley had a big fourth quarter. So it wasn't really a blowout.
Okay. Well, it's going to be a fun game. This is one of those games. The only thing I worry about is that because it looks like both teams are going to put up a lot of points, that the quality of the game will go down because defense is so bad. Does that make
concern.
Any sense?
I mean, Vegas is only a couple weeks removed from giving up 70 to the California team.
Well, that California team was out of their league.
Or 66, I think?
Whatever it is, 7 touchdowns. I mean, 10 touchdowns.
That's still a lot.
Okay. Well, yeah, you're right. That is a lot.
So, yeah.
Okay.
What else do we need to look for in this game?
Oh, I wanted to talk to you about, remember I was telling you before the show?
Oh, so we're going to look for this in this game? Is it going to be Thurman and his staff and Coach Castro and his staff?
No, but I went to two games this past week. Centennial Palo, the Wind Bowl, was so
the
wind.
What?
The Wind Bowl.
The
windiest game ever. Let me go off on a little tirade here, Kiefer. Been doing this for nearly two decades, so I'm able to have an opinion, okay? Love the Thursday night light game. Don't get me wrong. The guys in the booth are great. They speak highly of us every week. Thank you for that. The kids get to play on TV. Great opportunity. I know they like that. The problem is the start time at 8 o'clock. And I know that the network they're on has to run their situation comedies at 7 and 7:30. The game has to start at 8. I know the people that produce the game claim they're losing money and they're doing this for the kids and they want live football. Do us all a favor. Start the game at 7 and then just tape delay it an hour and have it go at 8. That way we could all get home at a good hour. It was just miserable at Palo. You know, you're leaving the stadium at 11. It's windy the whole time. I can't figure it out. And then they give out this trophy case. You get your Thursday night light trophy. and the kids are jumping around like they won the Super Bowl. Like Gorman doesn't
the
even
kids
sell
like playing on TV.
No doubt. I might be the only one that doesn't agree with that.
You want them to change it for your schedule?
No, not for everybody's schedule. All right. The kids are getting home at 12 something.
I don't.
If you're centennial, you're not getting home until 1 o'clock. School starts at 7 the next day. Okay, it's only one time a year. Blah blah blah. It's fine. It's a point.
I don't necessarily disagree. I just don't think. I definitely don't think the kid. First of all, starting at 7 or 8 is not going to affect how windy it is. It's still going to be windy.
No, the wind thing is what just. It was like it boiled over for me with the wind.
I can just remember being in high school and I wouldn't have minded playing an hour later once. I think.
Yeah, it's a total great deal, but the next day, you're worthless in class. Friday test day.
Friday's test day?
Usually is a test day, isn't it?
I mean, it could have changed since I was in high school, but I didn't think so. Just thought tests were all over the place.
Okay. Well,
you could be right. I'm not saying you're wrong.
It's just my opinion. I think the game is great. I love it. I love the announcers.
It should be at 7.
I just think it should be at 7. That's my only gripe. It's too late. Right. And I know there's other people that feel the same way.
Oh, yeah. I know there's other people. I just don't.
I'm one man.
I think this is about the kids, like you said, and I honestly don't think the kids care at all.
No, no doubt.
So that's why.
They look forward to it. They're the only game in town. Kids from other schools show up. It's awesome. But you get home at 1 o'clock, and then the alarm rings at 6:30 to get to school before 7:20 or whatever.
Is that time school starts here?
Yeah, it's like 7:20 to 1:15.
Wow.
Right.
God, I'm glad I didn't live here.
It's a tough cross to bear.
7:20 is when school starts.
Yeah, 7:20.
That is unbelievable. How?
I
can't
know.
Function at that time.
It's the bus system. So you got one bus, so they got to go. The high schools are at 7:30, the middle schools are at 8, and the grade schools are at 9.
Wow. I always do wonder why I see like high school kids hanging around at like 1:30 or 2. Yeah. I feel like they should
and
be
then
at
if
school.
You're a senior, you take like 3 or 4 classes, you're out at 10:30.
Still, it's so early.
Yeah. All right. So I was looking at the Centennial coaching staff. Coach Leon Evans and his crew looked awesome. A pair of Under Armour slacks I wish I had. They look great. You would look good in them too. Nice polos, the matching shoes, right? I go to Palo, they got the same thing. Gorman coaches look great. They got the matching shoes, the whole nine yards. And I was saying, do you remember when you were a kid, but of course you're so young, where the coaches used to wear those old tight bike shorts, bike coaching shorts with the 3 buttons. Mm-hmm. They just looked ugly. Or apparently they
were. Well, I said I didn't remember, but then you showed me a picture and I definitely remember. I remember. I mean, I don't remember them being as widespread as you do. Like, you were basically telling me everyone wore them, but I can remember some people wearing them. They're basically like baseball pants except in short form.
Mm-hmm. I went to Shap. Coach Bobby Johnson and Coach K would always wear those shorts. It's just old school. I wonder if there's any coach. Like, do you think Coach Ross, when he was at L Dog, used to wear the bike type coaching pants shorts?
I would have lost that trivia question. I didn't know where he coached before Palo.
No, he was at L Dog and then Durango and then opened Palo in 96.
Yeah, I knew he opened Palo.
Do you think that it would be cool, and tell me if I'm wrong, if there was like, you know how they always have like these throwback days, but they have like the new uniforms for the throwbacks? Even though they kind of look like throwbacks, I wish there was a throwback day where you went to the closet and you got the old uniforms from like 1980. You know how the players used to wear the shirts, but they'd be cut off and you could see their stomachs when they would play?
I don't think that's ever going to happen. They still have those, you think, in a closet?
I don't know, but I think
most of these schools that we cover opened in like 96 to 2005 or something.
Yeah.
So that's going to be our review. Are they going to go dig up the
But I'd like Gorman to be like, okay, like say they dog it in the second half of Legacy this week, and Sanchez would be like, you guys don't even deserve to wear these, and he goes in the closet and gets like the 1980 cutoff.
I think,
and then he would roll out with those bike shorts. That's what I want to see. I want to see those bike shorts. The goofy old bike shorts.
I don't think anyone's
and the coaches
wear the bike
would wear
shorts.
The white tube socks pulled all the way up with them.
Yeah, I remember that too. So you were asking me if, because that seems so foreign and dated by now.
Yeah,
you were asking me if you thought we were going to see this, if like clothes coaches wear now, if it's going to seem that mm-hmm. way someday. And I said absolutely yes.
Yeah, see, it's just
this fashion. Fashion changes. I know nothing about fashion.
Neither
it changes so much. I can't get over this year. I don't know why it's just hit me this year, but you know, I watch a lot of football, my favorite sport, college, NFL, high school, whatever. But a lot of like college games, especially on Saturday when I was sitting around watching games all day, they were showing like flashbacks to 10 years ago, like 03, 04, which I remember well watching all these games. And now even looking at like the jerseys and what the coach is wearing then, those seem like, wow, that looks weird. So I don't even think it's going to be that long before we look back and we're like, what's with these Under Armour slacks? And right now we're saying they're awesome.
Yeah. I mean, Leon Evans could go to a wedding in those. He looked great. I mean, you could wear that to church. I mean, it's just a great look, and I'm thinking like, are people in 20 years, are we going to laugh at that? Like, oh my God, look at Leon Evans. He looks like a bum.
I think so. I think it's just the nature of things.
Like, what else could come? I did notice that obviously the Gorman and Booker T players had the top line Nike stuff for the games.
Uh-huh.
They got the new, like, underneath your jersey, you got like these sleeve things on that are logoed out too with your number on it, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, the teams definitely look sharp.
Did you keep your Wichita Collegiate jersey?
I did not, but...
You had to turn it back in?
Yeah, I had to turn it back in.
Okay.
So I don't know what happened to it. I'm sure they have new jerseys by now.
Sure. I got my JV jersey I got to keep when I was on JV, but... And then I got a jersey from, like, the 1970s that I actually framed.
I have my favorite football memorabilia I have, and you'll probably laugh now as you're going to think that I was too young to even mean anything, but I was on like the absolute powerhouse youth football team in Alabama. We won 2 straight state championships and got upset in the third one, huge upset. But when I moved away from Alabama at our like end of the year ceremony, this would have been like 5th grade by now, they gave me my helmet to keep, which I think is awesome. So that's my favorite probably football thing I have.
Do you still have it?
Yeah, I think I might be in a box somewhere, but I definitely
at your house or your mom's house?
Well, my mom just moved, so she sent me all the stuff. So I think I just got it within the last like 6 months or so.
Wow, I think that's cool. Yeah. I do.
I thought you might. Football. Come on, no, but it was a big deal.
I love youth football. See, here in Vegas, I think you got to buy your own gear, though. I don't think like the franchise owns the gear. So I think you're on the line to buy your pads and your helmet and all that crap.
Huh? Interesting. I felt like maybe we had to buy some stuff, but the helmets for sure were like the franchises because no one else had it. And I remember like being 12 years old and they made a big deal that they were giving me the helmet. And I was like,
what franchise
awesome.
Were you on?
The Clay Cardinals, and then a new high school opened. We had to change to the Clay Cougars the last year. And the Clay Cougars is when we got upset.
By the Cardinals?
We got upset by Tri-County. It's like middle of nowhere. This is what you envision the rest of America being. Like middle of nowhere, redneck Alabama upset us in the championship.
Yeah. Probably better coached.
Yeah, I don't know.
Did you play
better than those athletes.
Did you play both ways?
I did. I got game film, too, if you want to see it.
Case Key for All-American.
At 9 and 10 years old.
9 and 10. I was a good soccer player at 9 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
I was good until about 8th and 9th grade, and then I got all the other kids became as tall as I did, and I was slow. I ran. I had like a refrigerator on my back. Smart player, real bright, slow as could be. Super slow. You've seen me play hoop, right?
So, yeah, I have, but soccer, I felt like you're probably faster back then.
No.
I think you're not giving yourself enough credit.
I was slow. Like, straight up 40 time, refrigerator on my back. But I was a real smart player, serviceable. I mean, I was on
like... You
need like,
that. You need the IQ on the
I was on one
the
of the
field.
Best high school soccer teams in Nevada history.
Yeah, you won a couple state championships, I think.
Yeah, didn't lose a game. Ranked by USA Today 3. Kids that went all over to play. So if I went anywhere else, I would be... I think I would have played more regularly.
Yeah, for sure.
Either
Makes
way.
Makes sense.
Let's get on with the picks. All Enough right. about our personal life. But if any coach rocks those bike shorts with the 3 buttons, send me a photo... at Las Vegas Sun using the hashtag SunStandout, and we'll get you a gift card for a pizza restaurant on the Sun. I just want to see it.
Oh, wow.
With
you can
the
get that socks. If they wear it?
Yeah. If you wear it to coach, any level, any coach on the sideline of a high school game, take a picture. You have to have the tube socks, though.
Ooh.
At Las Vegas.
Who's most likely? Okay, we'll start picking the games. The first game's Foothill at Basic. Which coach, Marty Redmond or Jeff Cahill, is more likely to throw
on the... I think Jeff Cahill's dad, Dan, the D coordinator at Basic, probably still has those pants, and he probably thinks they're still fashionable.
Wow, just all over Basic.
Cahill, I love the Cahills. They're great, great guys.
So Basic more likely for that. Who's more likely to win this game?
Well, here's the deal. I think this is going to be whoever has the ball last. Foothill, I've seen them play. Doc Stater's back now. They're going to be able to sling it around. Johnson for Basic is the real deal. And remember, this game means a lot to both these kids. Battle for Boulder Highway, it's right there. Kids went to the same schools growing up. It's a lot of familiarity. I go real high on this game, 59-47 in favor of the Falcons.
Yeah, I'm not going to be surprised if it's a shootout either. Kind of that, to use a cliche, the last team having the ball is going to win. It's like a destructive relationship. I can't quit. Every close game, I think Basic is going to win. I'm going to go with the Wolves again. I think Basic could get it done. You say Doc Stater's back, but maybe he's not 100%. I don't know. I'm reaching at straws here to kind of come up with
a
reason.
Yeah, but they throw the Gardner kid in, who's just as effective.
True. All right, well, I'm still going to go with Basic. Okay. It's at Basic, too. Great crowd. I mean, Foothill will bring people, too, but I'm going to go with Basic.
Yeah, it'll be packed. Yeah. I remember the first Basic Foothill game when all the kids from Basic went over to Open Foothill and it was packed. Thursday Night Light game, of course. Can't wait. Durango at Sierra Vista.
Wow, after last week, every game seems so easy. These ones are tough.
I know.
God, I don't know. I mean, Durango has kind of been outmatched in every game this year, right? It's kind of hard to get a handle on how good they are. Now, these are kind of two more evenly matched teams.
I truly think this is a coin flip. I've seen Sierra. I think they're decent. I think they're they don't have much depth. I think they run into some problems. I still like them to take third, though, so I got to take the Lions.
Wow.
I mean, a close game.
I took Sierra Vista last week as my upset against
D.O.
And they lost by 50 or something, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they just got absolutely destroyed. So I probably shouldn't, but I'm going to hold this against them. I'm going to take Durango. I got some faith in I think Matt Gerber is a good coach over there. And I know that they got some young kids and kind of gone through some trouble this year. But I'm gonna stake my neck out there with Durango.
Okay. Here's the deal. You got to have the Jimmies and the Joes, and I don't think Durango has many Jimmies or Joes.
Oh, God.
Palo Verde at Shadow. I'm not picking against Palo until Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I got to pick Palo here, although Shadow... not a walkover, necessarily.
Okay, exactly. Centennial at Bonanza. I'm kind of torn in this game. I picked Centennial 31-23. With that said, Centennial, I thought I was going to get a good gauge on them Thursday, but the wind kind of ruined everything. You were forced into going out of your game plan. Bonanza has got, you know, Taylor and Soto. And they think they could take second in the league behind Gorman. Centennial probably feels the same way. I just think in the end, Worthington is too much to handle. If they get the ball to Worthington, if they're dedicated to getting him the ball in space, I can't see them losing.
So we're even after last week. Should this be our bet of the week? Because I think you're crazy. I think Centennial is going to crush this team. I don't think it's going to be close at all. You got a touchdown. I think that's insane.
How many points are you going to give me? You think Centennial is going to win big?
Yeah, I think they'll win by more than two touchdowns with ease.
You going to give me 15?
I'll give you 15 and a half.
15
I'll throw
and a
on
half.
The hook.
Okay, right. I'll take that. I got Bonanza plus 15 and a half.
Yeah, that's the first action of the week here. The thing about Centennial to me is, I mean, you mentioned it, Worthington and those guys, they have some great players at the top. Their best players are some of the best players in town. And I just look at their schedule and their results, and I think they're just getting better. Shadow Ridge, who I just said was no walkover, they beat 40-7. You mentioned the troubles against Palo. They still played Palo really tough, only lost by a touchdown or a little more in the end. I think they're getting better.
If I'm Palo, I root for that win for when they play Gorman, because that win is the great equalizer. I mean, you couldn't do – Palo had to go for it on 4th-and-3 – from its 23, because if you punt the ball, it goes straight back.
I don't care if it's a win against Palo. Against Gorman, still not going to happen. I mean, okay. The win doesn't stop Chris Lally. Let me tell you right now, nothing does.
Okay, all I'm saying is that you need some extraordinary things to happen to beat Gorman, and that would be a start.
All right, I don't see it, but while we're talking about it, next game is Gorman at Legacy.
All right, Gorman after six games against nationally ranked, respected out-of-state opponents. Open play in the Southwest at Legacy. I think we both agree Gorman big. The question, Case Kiefer, who will be the best player on the field?
I mean, I guess it has to be who will have the best game. I'm still going to say, I don't know. I mean, it's just hard to tell because Gorman is so surrounded with so many great players.
Do you think
Casey, I know you're going with Casey Hughes.
Do you think
but,
Casey Hughes is better than a better player than the players that Gorman will roll out there?
Oh, he's on the same level for sure.
On the
I don't
same
know if
level.
I would necessarily say he's the best, but absolutely on the same level. No,
okay.
No question in my mind. My big question is how, I mean, what kind of game does he have? Because Gorman is just, I mean, everything Gorman is going to do is going to be to shut him down.
Gorman has a way to make extraordinary players look ordinary. And who knows? I mean, if Hughes goes crazy, though, his stock is going to skyrocket even more. He's already got Oregon State, Utah, Army, UNLV, some pretty solid offers.
I just think it's going to be so tough against Gorman, who's going to scheme just to stop him and all that. But, yeah, I mean, if he even has a decent game, I think that's a big sticker on his helmet.
Okay, let me ask you this. Legacy is in contention to be the second-best team in the Southwest. They're ranked top 10. They beat Arborview. If you're Legacy, or any team for that matter, do you want to open league play with Bishop Gorman, get smacked in the mouth, and see what happens the rest of the way? Or do you want to wait to play Gorman at the end of the season? Because my theory has always been, Case Kiefer, that you play Gorman, you get bruised, you get injured, your morale's down, and then the rest of the way you know your season's going to eventually end and you're not your best. You're focused on homecoming. You're focused on finding a nice hoodie to wear in the cold weather.
I think everyone already knows that, though, and I know you don't want to hear that, but I mean, while I was watching the Gorman game, I was poking around on Twitter a little bit because I wanted to see what people were saying about the game, and I saw some like multiple kids that play high school football in town, state. It doesn't really matter because everyone's just going to lose to Gorman anyway, which is absolutely true. I think people know that, so I don't put as much credence into your theory as in the past. No offense. I don't think it matters when the game comes. You want to give Gorman your best shot, in my opinion. And
okay. At least the kids know that Gorman's the leader in the clubhouse.
Well, I don't want them to know. I wish they didn't have that mind.
But
they
do. They know. I mean, do you think that the other kids were rooting for Gorman against Booker T?
I don't know. See, that's kind of what I was trying to search for, to get a hold on. And that was also where I saw some people saying, how is this the number one team in the nation? They only beat Gorman by 13.
Because what I find real cool is that whenever a team like Liberty or Palo plays a national game, the Gorman kids are on Twitter rooting for these kids. Like when Palo played in the Sullenberger, Gorman could have been all chapped that they didn't get to play in the game. But on Twitter, their kids were like openly rooting for Palo and sending messages to their friends. And I just thought that was cool and that Gorman is trying to promote Nevada football. And, you know, when Liberty was in close with Hamilton, Gorman was in New Jersey, and its players were also following the game closely. So I think the Gorman players are rooting for the other teams. I just don't know if the other teams are rooting for the Gorman players.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and it doesn't really bother me. I mean, it's the tormentors versus the tormented.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier if you're the tormentor.
Yep. Western at Clark, I remember, Case, when that used to be the game of the week. Not the case anymore. I do like Clark in this game. 35-6. 34, I put to 6.
Yep, Clark wins easy. Speaking of winning easy, Liberty and Del Sol is next, and I'm going Liberty by 60-some points.
I had it only by 57. Okay, a game where it's going to be close. Faith at Pahrump. Pahrump loses in triple OT to Chi-Town, but this game is in their house. You got to travel, an hour to get to Pahrump. Faith has got Keenan Smith, who is the clear-cut player of the year, I think, in the Division 1A. How does Keenan Smith do at Pahrump, known for its wineries and other things? You got to take the roadie to get there to see A.J. Segura. I cannot believe I'm picking Pahrump for the second straight week. Take me to see a shrink.
That is insane. Come on. Pahrump is not beating Faith Lutheran. It's not going to happen. I think Faith Lutheran's got like the five best players in this game.
Faith Lutheran is on a 6-game or a 5-game winning streak. I just think that it's tough to get it's a road game. I know Faith players are used to traveling. Pahrump isn't that bad, Case.
No, they're pretty good.
They're serviceable.
I agreed with you, I think, last week when you said that they were probably the favorite against Cheyenne. I mean, and they went into triple overtime. Obviously, at the least, they were even with them. I mean, that could have gone either way. I don't see Faith Lutheran losing this game. They've just been so impressive. I mean, they're beating everyone. Looking back, that overtime loss against Virgin Valley, their only loss in state, is looking a lot better now because Virgin Valley's awfully good. I can't believe I'm just in shock we're disagreeing on this many games. Last week, I was having to punch myself to convince myself to pick against you in any game. This week, it's every other game. I'm going Faith Lutheran. I think Faith Lutheran's going to win easy.
Okay. Agree to disagree. Perfect.
All right.
DP at Virgin. Two undefeated teams. Would you believe that the three of the four remaining undefeated teams are in the division 1A Sunrise?
Yeah,
I bet you can't tell me who the fourth team is.
So, repeat the question one more time.
Who are the four undefeated teams?
The four undefeated teams in the lower level?
Total in Southern Nevada.
Ooh.
Moapa, Virgin, DP.
Moapa, Virgin, DP, Canyon Springs.
Oh, there's five.
Moapa, Virgin, I don't know. Canyon Springs was the one that came to mind.
Cimarron.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. DP at Virgin, battle of undefeated teams, playoff seeding on the line. Virgin's home field advantage and decent passing attack against the big 4/5 athletes at DP. You know me, Keith. I love the athletes, baby. I got to go with the Jaguars. No way I would pick against the Jags.
But the one thing is, you have to keep in mind, is your favorite thing is travel. They have to travel to Mesquite.
I know. I'm contradicting myself. But I just think that Iquan Corsi, Tim Huff, Eric Wilkes.
Man, this is a huge game, and
it's like a Corvette, a Ferrari, and a Porsche in the garage, and they're gonna cruise up to Mesquite. Then they're gonna put their pedal on the gas and vroom past the Bulldogs.
This is a big game, and one thing I really like is that both teams know how big it is, and they aren't just saying the politically correct things and acting like trying to downplay it. I read Desert Pines coach Tico Rodriguez talking about this game after they killed Sunrise Mountain last week. I talked to Chris Sawyers at Virgin Valley, and he was like, you know, I'm not going to lie and say we weren't looking ahead. Like, the last 3 weeks we've been thinking about this game. It's going to be huge. We can't wait. And I know Desert Pines has the same mindset. Sometimes when you have that, when there's that much anticipation, the teams come out sloppy. So that would be my thing to look out for. See who gets off to a better start. I really am kind of torn. I think you might be right with this one. I think Desert Pines might win, but it's such a toss-up. I got to go on the other side if you're going Desert Pines. I'll take Virgin Valley at home. We said Valley, Green Valley, Las Vegas was the game of the week, but this might be the game of the week. I mean, this is a great game.
If it was at DP, I think I'd have. If it was at DP and if you weren't out of town, I think we'd go cover it.
Yeah, for sure.
Shap at Sunrise. My Cowboys need to win out to make the playoffs. Sunrise is, I think the gap between the two schools is a lot closer than it has been in past years. Cowboys still win 31-23.
I agree with everything you said. I mean, seriously, Sunrise could win this game.
They could.
I know you don't want to hear Sunrise, God, I know a big thing for them is they really wanted to get more than just that one win. I mean, we kind of figured they're going to beat Western. They wanted to get one more win. They came so close against L-Dog. This might be their last chance. They have to go to Boulder City and then Virgin Valley. I don't think they're winning either of those games, but I just can't pull the trigger. I got to go Shap, but I think Sunrise Mountain could be close in the fourth quarter.
Okay. I could agree with that.
All right. Vegas and Green Valley.
Vegas and Green Valley. Listen, to a fault, I like Las Vegas. I like them in hoop. I like him in basketball. The Moreland kid, I think he controlled the clock on the ground. The Xavier Banks kid, I think, is going to have some significant matchup problems for Vegas. I mean, for Green Valley, and I think the Wildcats are going to play great defense. I give me Vegas. I know this is going to be a high scoring affair. I know Green Valley could score with the best of them. I just think Vegas might be on its way back.
I mean, every year I call you out because I think you're too high on Vegas. This is the first year I think that they're actually deserving. I mean, I think they are that good. I think they can win this division easily. I can tell you that maybe last week, or for sure last week at this time, I would have said Green Valley's going to win this game, no problem. I would have been really confident. But since then, I've talked to quite a few people, three or four people that know a lot about high school football that are tuned in for good reasons and gotten their opinions on the game. And it seems like all of them think Vegas is a little bit better team. And these are people that would know about both teams. So I'm a little bit concerned about my pick. I think I'm still leaning Green Valley, but I think you can make a great argument for Vegas. One thing that seems to be unanimous around town is people think that Green Valley should be running the ball more. That when they just line up and throw it, they're too one-dimensional, and they try to get back to running the ball a little bit against Valley.
And so, it keeps their defense off on the field when you throw the ball.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see like what the play selection is like in this one. I think with Larry Norman and Albert Lake running the ball, they try to get both those guys some carries against Valley. I think they're going to be more even, and I see this coming down to the end, but I'm not going to jump off it yet. I think Green Valley at its potential, I think it's the second best team in town, and I think Las Vegas at its full potential isn't quite to that level yet.
I could agree with that, but I think that on this day, Vegas is better.
Fair. I mean, any other year we would be here yelling at each other, getting in an argument, and the good folks at the Las Vegas Weekly would be really mad and want to go away from their desks. But this year, I can see what you're saying with Vegas. I like this Vegas team too, but I'm going Green Valley.
Alrighty, back to the Sunset, Arborview, Spring Valley. Spring Valley at Arborview. I think Arborview's going to win.
Yeah, Arborview's not going to have a problem with this one.
Alrighty, L-Dog at Coronado. Coronado knew they had to beat Del Sol and L-Dog to make the playoffs. They will take care of half of that on Friday.
Yeah, my somewhat bold prediction for the rest of the year is Coronado goes unbeaten. So I think they're going to beat both Foothill and Basic, too. I think it starts here. They're going to beat El Dorado. I think Coronado gets the 2. And then whoever gets the 3 out of that Green Valley, Vegas Canyon, like you said, is bad news for the playoffs because you don't want to play Coronado.
I agree with you. Coronado is a sleeping giant. If they could get some players over there, they could be dangerous. Rancho at Canyon. Canyon.
Yeah, Canyon.
Alrighty. Chi-Town at Motown. Cheyenne at Mojave. Cheyenne's won 2 in a row. Mojave broke a 3-game losing streak last week. Mojave 0-9 lifetime against Cheyenne. Maybe more than that. They have never beat Cheyenne. The coach said it was 0-9, but I know the school's been open since 96, and I think they were in the same league, so to be announced. But they've never beat Cheyenne, whatever it is.
I think it's not unfair to say both these teams are kind of disappointments this year.
I would agree. Both are hindered by mistakes.
Yeah, both a lot of disappointments. But I'm saying whatever it is, 0-9, 0-19, 0-90, it ends this week. Mojave gets back on track. I mean, they kind of did last week. We knew they were going to beat Western. They're going to get a quality win this week and beat up on Cheyenne, I think, by a couple touchdowns.
I can't dispute that. I think Mojave is got the better players, but they know they haven't beat Cheyenne. I think the game's going to be close. Last game, D.O. at Cimarron.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Yeah, wow. That is a tough
one. Tell me about you. Did you write about Desert Oasis' game last week?
I wrote about both games last week.
Okay, well, tell me about them, because I don't know what...
D.O. just, they started off slow against Sierra. It was, they were down early, and then in the second quarter, they just blew them out. The Jaquez Kalili kid was great again.
He's one of, like, the 5 best players in town, in my opinion.
But the Michael Barnton kid is not a slouch over at Cimarron.
That's true, but Cimarron
had 200 yards last week.
At points this season has had trouble scoring.
Can't figure Cimarron out.
Yeah, they're tough to figure out. They went 42-0 one week and then can't score against El Dorado the next week.
Yeah. They struggle against L-Dog and Chi-Town. They blow out Sierra and Durango.
Yeah, I think they're pretty good. I think defensively it's going to be a challenge for Desert Oasis, but I've missed like every Desert Oasis game this year. I picked Del Sol to beat Desert Oasis. I should never be forgiven for that. Part of my penance, I'm going to pick Desert Oasis in any close game going forward. I got Desert Oasis in this one.
I got to go to my best player on the field argument. I'll take Kalili, if that's how you say it. I've never seen the kid, but I'll take your word for it. Cimarron undefeated. This is a huge game in league.
Is it a penalty? Sorry to interrupt you, but you saying that about Kalili, is it a penalty in high school to hurdle?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what one of our colleagues was telling me, but I swear the game I was at, Kalili had to have hurdled like four guys and landed it and never got a penalty.
Yeah, well,
unless I was just oblivious and missed the penalties.
Do you remember the famous photo from last year in New Solomon hurdling somebody from Centennial?
Yeah.
That was a penalty.
They called it?
Yeah.
I swear the Kalili kid was hurdling all over the place. It was like a track meet, and they never threw a flag once.
Well, maybe they changed the rules.
All right.
So my favorite thing about football is that we're out of September, so there'll be no more water timeouts every quarter.
Yeah, I agree.
So,
but then that's also my least favorite thing is that it's cold.
Yeah, you're right.
All right. Well, that does it for this week of Prep Sports Now. Thanks for always as listening. Enjoy the games this weekend. We'll be back next Monday to talk about them. Signing off, Case and Murray.